listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
How are Lutheran books and materials reaching people in many languages around the globe? Well, through our friends with Lutheran Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk with them in just a moment. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Irvine. You can learn more about Concordia University Irvine by visiting cui.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Matthew Heise, Executive Director for Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Welcome back.
Good morning, Andy and Sarah. Always great to be with you.
Also joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Ted Notalong, Asia Director for Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Welcome back.
Thank you.
We enjoy always hearing the stories of the Lord at work through His people around the globe, particularly the great projects that are happening through Lutheran Heritage Foundation, and we love sharing these stories. I know we have a bunch of great news stories to share today as well. Where would you like to begin?
Well, I think we'd like to begin with our biggest sponsor, our biggest supporter, and that's the LWML. We are extremely grateful to them. Whenever I have the chance to maybe even visit a church, I always try to ask how many ladies here are LWML members, and I'll get a large number of hands going up, and I just want to make sure that I thank them personally for what they do for us. For example, today, this morning, we just went down there. Jeff Fron, our assistant executive director, Ted and I, went down to the Concordia campus and met with Karen Anderson and the staff there at the LWML offices. And we were able to, you know, present them with some of the books that we've already printed because they granted us a $100,000 gift at their convention last year. And it was focused on Muslim outreach. And so we were able to actually print about 33,000 books already in Nigeria in two languages, in the Yala language, and we printed a summary of Christian doctrine by Edward Kaler. And then we also printed Luther's Small Catechism and Enchiridion version, you know, the basic six chief parts in Igbo, which is a new language. And so when you think, especially now it's in the news, that Nigerian girls from Catholic schools, but, you know, from other schools are being kidnapped by Muslim radicals. There's a real problem in Nigeria today. And so I think it is ever more essential to be able to get good Lutheran doctrinal materials into the hands of people so they can teach the faith to people there, especially those who might potentially be under threat in their country. And we are blessed with a great team there led by Reverend Dr. Michael Adoga. That does great work in Nigeria. But we also have six books that just came out in Indonesian. And for that, I want to turn the microphone over to Ted because he knows more about that area since Southeast Asia is his area.
Well, thank God for the opportunity to translate and publish the books in Indonesia Bahasa to the grant from LMML. And the first book that we translate was my first catechism with a workbook, and our team already are using it to introduce Christ to the Muslim school and public school. So that's something that is really a great blessing to share Christ with the people in Indonesia, which has the most Muslim in the world. And another book that we translate and also publish was Luther. Small catechism that's adopted by 15th Synod of the Lutheran Church in Indonesia. So it's really it's a miracle, you know, that I think Luther is smiling and, you know, seeing how his catechism being used by Lutheran churches in Indonesia.
What is the impact of this grant from LWML? I mean, you're explaining these really incredible projects. What does that mean for the people on the ground?
Well, I mean, to be able to get these research, especially with what they gave us the gift for Muslim mm-hmm. outreach. I mean, we have other works that are underway in Turkish, in Arabic, in Farsi, which of course is for Iranians, predominantly in Europe right now, but I'm always with the hope, and we follow it closely, that there are a lot of stirrings going on in the country of Iran today, and hoping for someday that the gospel can be proclaimed more openly. And also in Ghanaian languages, in northern Ghana, our Reverend Dr. Nicholas Salafu has a school that he started probably over 10 years ago and just kept adding classes. And now they have over 1,000 students at Concordia Prep School, and half the students are Muslim.
Yeah.
So as I asked Nicholas once, I said, so do these Muslim parents know what you're teaching? He said, yes. He said, understand, I know how this works. I grew up Muslim and had a Christian witness to me and teach me English. And he says, I don't want your Jesus. I just want your English. But Nicholas got both of those. And he is now a great advocate for Jesus in his native language of Kusal, but also in these other different languages. And so, as you know, Ted had mentioned, even Indonesia, where we're able to get these books into public schools because there they can't proselytize, but they actually have to teach what is Christianity. So, I mean, you have a book like Lutheranism 101. You have some of these other books that we can gift to students in the largest Muslim nation in the world. I mean, that's, we just shared that with Karen and the staff there at LWML today. And I mean, that's really very difficult to do without that kind of support that we get from the ladies. So their mites go a long way.
Yeah. Hmm.
I think every time you visit, I learn about three to five languages, yep, I didn't know existed.
So. True.
Well, I have to admit, when I talked to them this morning, I said, and this is in Igbo, and Jeff had to correct me. He said, Igbo. I said, I can't keep track of all the new languages.
So
predominantly
many languages
in Africa and also in Asia, which that's Ted's bailiwick. It's easier for me just to speak about languages I know, like French and German.
Speaking of education, let's talk about formation of pastors and happening in Sudan.
Yeah, we just had a class graduate just about a week or two ago. And I believe, I'm trying to think how many, we might have had 12 or so graduates there. You know, when you start with a larger number, and it gets kind of whittled down. It's a very complicated process because they're being taught in English. And that's not their native language. And so you have to find a way, okay, and these are all different languages. They come from different language groups, Zande, Arabic for some, Sudanese Arabic, as they call it, and Acholi, Nuer, Dinka. There's a lot of different languages that they have to work. And so it's a complex process. But Bishop Peter Anabati has done a wonderful job assembling a team. We send professors from the States, Dr. Charles Scholes, for example, from Concordia Chicago, pastors like Pastor David Bolte out in Arizona, just a whole set of folks. And now we have two graduates, Pastor Celestino and Pastor Nicholas Lewis from St. Louis Seminary, who are back home, and they will be teaching the new class that begins in February. And so that is a process. You know, this church didn't exist 30 years ago, and now we're talking over 200,000 people. They don't have enough pastors.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll get groups like Nebraska South, LWML again, sending us gifts supporting the education of South Sudanese pastors.
Mm-hmm.
So there you see LWML comes up again with their great support.
That's really incredible. Celestino was actually at my church
while
he was at the seminary. So wonderful, wonderful man.
No, yeah. It was a tough process for them because they had to stay here for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then because of different government regulations, there was a thought, are they going to be able to be sent home before they graduate? Thankfully, the Lord blessed them. They were able to graduate. And now, you know, this is always the goal. You want to get pastors native to their own country, teaching their own people. So that's now going to be something that's going to be continuing, hopefully, in the future.
Yeah. Really incredible. Awesome,
yes.
Awesome things happening.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about Philippines. There's a new office open in Philippines. Is that right?
Yes. Thank God for the relationship that we have with President Reyes. And we had known each other for many years. But recently, he sees the need of having a Lutheran Heritage Foundation to be present in Philippines. So we finally came to a term to setting up our office in their headquarters. So it's really a great blessing to have that set up. And it another great thing is that because the Lutheran Church of Philippines also being a partner church of LCMS for many years, so it's really a double great blessing to work together.
What does this opportunity afford us, or what opportunities are afforded through having an office there? What kind of work can happen now in the Philippines?
Well, now we can really translate and publish into many dialects of the people there. And also another thing is not only that, but go and introduce these books and teach them to their churches.
Anything else about the Philippines?
Interestingly enough... We actually had a book here too. We just did the Child's Guard to Bible Stories in Tagalog, which is the dominant language. We had initially started in Cebuano, one of the languages, but now we are working in Tagalog as well. So that we just completed that Child's Guard to Bible Studies stories. We also have Jesus Never Fails, the Gospel Tract, in Tagalog as well. So and our working right now on our preteen book, which is God's Word for You. It's kind of the next step after Child's Garden of Bible Stories when kids say, I'm not a kid anymore, you know, but I'm maybe not quite a teenager, preteen, moving into teens. Yeah. And Ted was able to find a great Indonesian illustrator to use the Japanese manga cartoon characters for this preteen Bible story book called God's Word for You. And so that is being translated now into Tagalog as well. That's just an example of some of the work that's going to be going on and increasing there.
How often do you translate into one language, going into a new country, new culture, translate into one language, and then discover that there are many more languages in that country and culture that you need to, that translations are needed for?
I think Ted can answer that better than I can.
Well, we... been doing a lot of translation into the tribal languages north of Thailand. Mm-hmm. And these people are not Lutheran. And many of them have come to become Lutheran through the books that we share with them. And these people also, they live in a mountain area among Thailand, Laos, and Burma. And so they would carry this book and share with their people up in the mountain where we would not be able to mm-hmm. reach out to these people.
Wow. Thanks be to God. We'll have more to learn about the Lord's work with Lutheran Heritage Foundation. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment here on The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University Irvine, you have the freedom to explore your future and your faith. Across over 60 on-campus and online programs, you'll experience Christian education that's uniquely designed to develop the whole person, to prepare you not just for your career, but for all of your callings in life. Here you'll explore life's toughest questions, gain lifelong skills, and make relationships that last a lifetime. Concordia University Irvine. Learn more at cui.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're talking with our friends with Lutheran Heritage Foundation, the Reverend Dr. Matthew Heisey and the Reverend Dr. Ted Notalong, about the Lord's work all around the globe, translating great books, Lutheran books and materials into languages of people around the globe. So now we're heading a little bit further north. We're heading to Norway and Iceland. Tell us about the projects going on there.
Yeah, we are in the cold climates there as well. Maybe what you feel in St. Louis today. We've been feeling this in Michigan for a while already.
Right.
Especially on our flight here. But these are languages that we've had our eye on for some time, in particular Icelandic. And I've been communicating with Pastor Shakarius Ingolfsson, who has gone through the master's program through Fort Wayne in Gothenburg, Sweden. And he is a pastor in the Norwegian Lutheran Church of Norway. Bishop Torkild Masfi, one of the LCMS church partners, is the bishop of that church. And so I've talked with Torkild about potentially doing work in Norwegian, Icelandic, and he introduced me to Shakarius. And Shakarius is originally from Iceland. His parents still live there. And he has a heart for his people. And so he, even though he is serving a congregation in Norway, he is now trying to get back maybe once a month into Iceland. He's trying to do work digitally to restore the faith and Lutheran confessions in Icelandic. And I always told him, let me know when you want something printed. So he said, I'm ready to print something. So we're ready to print Martin Luther's Small Catechism in Icelandic. Mind you, this is a country today which has a great Lutheran tradition. And I mean, they had that one great hymn, you know, the Smith of the Heavens, Jesus, our Savior, that goes back from the 1100s, the 1200s. It was done by Orstedor, one of my favorite Icelandic groups, one of those Icelandic pop groups. And they sang this song in a German train station a cappella and just drew so much attention for people. But there is this rich tradition of Christianity and then Lutheranism in Iceland that's dead today. I mean, the famous American historian of religion, Rodney Stark, once mentioned that there are more than half of Icelanders believe in elves and trolls, but people don't believe in Jesus anymore. Mm-hmm. And so this touches Shikarius's heart, and so he has started that small congregation. He's training pastors through the Lutheran Church of Norway, and hopefully, you know, it's step by step, inch by inch, trying to make an impact on his homeland that has long since lost the faith. I mean, where Ted works, we have people just coming to faith, and here we have somebody who had the faith and has lost it completely. But, you know, this is, once again, Jesus searches and searches, searches for that lost sheep. And so he is doing that in Iceland today, and we're thrilled to be able to help him with this translation and others, hopefully, in the future. Norwegian, we got the request from Reverend Dr. Brent Klaueter, who used to be an LCMS chaplain, and he had been kind of an independent Norwegian Lutheran because he didn't really mesh with the state church, which is very liberal. And so we connected him with Bishop Masvi, and he has now joined that church. He is now one of their pastors, and he teaches at a college in western Norway, in Bergen. And they have a different dialect called Nynorsk. And he says, I want to do a translation in Nynorsk. My wife is Norwegian, and they've actually done the translation. Bishop Masvi said, can you also do Bokmål, which is the type of Norwegian that is spoken then in Oslo and most other parts of Norway? And so he said, sure. So they are now working. They've got those two together, and we are looking to print sometime this spring catechisms in those languages. Once again, to help people, small fledgling Lutheran groups that are beginning to form and hopefully will join churches. But they have the teaching materials now, at least in their languages. So that is something we're printing with a goal, hopefully, to get up to the Sami people, because they do have Laplanders, they're Sami speakers. They do have a congregation up there. So we're looking at, in the future, maybe doing translations into Sami as well. So these are languages I know a little bit better than Igbo or Igbo. Forgive me, Nigeria.
It seems every time you come here, it's just like endless opportunities for places and new languages.
Well,
and
we always say the Tower of Babel did kind of create opportunities for us, but Pentecost is even better because they all hear about Jesus in their own language, and that's the most important thing.
Oh, it's so true. So true, yeah. Let's talk about Taiwan. I believe there was some disaster response happening, and you were able to provide resources for that.
Yes. Reverend Dr. Ross Johnson reached out to me and said, you know, there's been this natural disaster that occurred in Taiwan. And while we're sending materials and humanitarian assistance, you know, we always try to tie the two together. We would like to send them some things that will attest to our faith. And so in traditional Chinese, we are now shipping in catechisms, children's Bible storybooks, about 2,000 or so, into Taiwan, to be able to get those books into the hands of the church and also to other people too, who are suffering and just, you know, are wondering. And this is where the track to Jesus Never Fails becomes very important. You know, when everything fails you and even it seems like the heavens are against you and the nature itself, Jesus never forgets you and never gives up on you and is always there. And that's our Lord's promise to us. And so we try to make sure that we get those materials. So it's great to work with the LCMS. I mean, after we talk to you, we'll be talking to Ross and thanking him too for that opportunity to be able to partner. And I mean, that's what we love to do, to partner with our church and provide resources so that they can do the mission work in places where we can't go.
I'm just, you know, thinking about how meaningful that is in a time of crisis, in a time of disaster, to receive words of comfort from God in your heart language, in the language that you know that you might not have necessarily had the opportunity to hear. How comforting that is to receive that gift.
Ted has probably seen some of that in Asia too, where we've been able to bring resources.
What about the Book of Concord and Pastoral Care Companion? I understand there's some work on that. Is that correct?
This is something that becomes really essential in training pastors in particular, to be able to have the basic confessions there in one book. Personally, I did this in Russia before I was with LHF, and when I was teaching with OIM, I used the Book of Concord in Russian. And so being able to have these books, getting indexes appropriately labeled so that we're able to assist people here too, providing those pastoral resources, pastoral companions, becomes really important to people, especially in Africa. I mean, because the church is just growing and growing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, having known what that was like, where I could actually tell my students, okay, let's turn to this page here and we're going to look at it in your language, which I am butchering probably right now, but I'm teaching you. No, we were able to at least converse pretty well. And so I think it becomes important for us to share those resources in Africa, in particular in Kenya, because we've expanded into so many different languages.
Mm-hmm. Arabic and Farsi resources. I know you've mentioned a little bit of that already. Is there more happening with Arabic and Farsi?
Well, with Arabic, we have just completed The Life with God, which is something that was put out by Reverend Dr. Lawrence White in Houston years ago. We did this in Russian almost 30 years ago. And now we have this book in Arabic, which is very, very important. Dr. Abjar Baku has been essential in really doing that translation. And he also did Jesus Never Fails, the gospel tract as well. And so we're really grateful to Abjar for doing that kind of work because now he is currently beginning to look at the simple explanation of Christianity. One of these things too, when you're speaking with Arabic speakers, you know, we had to deal with some of these issues. Ted's had to deal with this in Asia, where you know putting Luther's name on there throws up a roadblock to a lot of people. And so here, you know, I think CPH brilliantly, basically just reformatted the catechism in a simple explanation of Christianity. Of course, that's what it is. So why not? And so we have that in Arabic. And Abjar thinks that can be very effective not only in the Middle East, but also he has family in Sweden and certainly in certain portions of Europe, but also in the United States, in California, of course, Michigan. Sarah knows all about that.
My hometown.
She and I were from Dearborn. I was born there. I mean, we get lots of questions. You were born in Dearborn.
Yep.
And so having those, I mean, we do have a interesting partnership with Pablo where they actually are able to get into some of those homes in East Dearborn where Syrian refugees, Yemenis are.
Yeah.
And they can teach what we can't go in and teach in Arabic.
Yeah.
So sharing those resources in Arabic, I think, become more and more. And of course, Andy now is speaking Arabic as far as I know.
Not enough.
Was that a last year project?
Yes.
You're doing a lot better than I am, Shukran.
Both of you travel. I know, Dr. Nathalong, before we came on the air, you said probably about 50% of your time is spent traveling around the globe. Dr. Heise, is that similar for you, probably?
Mine's a little bit less now.
Okay.
It's more the States. I will get over there. I mean, but Ted and Dinku with Africa are really, and you know, this is the Philip Jenkins thesis, you know, the next Christendom is Asia-Africa. And so there's more of a need for Ted and Dinku to be there more regularly.
Well, and I think your travels around the States are very valuable too. Think of how many people, how many languages and cultures are here in the States as well, and opportunities
to Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife and I were in Saskatchewan of all places. And we were I can just share with you one anecdote. We were traveling from a pastor's conference where I shared with them, there's two Brazilian pastors serving Lutheran Church Canada in Regina, Saskatchewan.
Yeah. And, I love it.
And just when we were driving through Regina on our way back, we saw, I mean, school let out. I saw Chinese. I saw Hispanic people. I saw Somalis. I saw most ethnic groups that I didn't expect to see in Regina, Saskatchewan. But these congregations are finding many of these folks and coming into them, and they say, do you have resources? Yeah. So, you know, we've been shuttling resources across the border, you know, a nice little checkpoint where, you know, there's nobody there. It's like, what do you got? We got books. Oh, books? Lutheran books? Okay, yeah. It's like when we brought French hymnals back from Montreal once there, and the people at the Sarnia at the Blue Water Bridge in Michigan kind of looked at our books and said, what are these? You got any alcohol and tobacco? I said, no, we just have French hymnals. I got to call my supervisor on this one. And they did, but I explained that, you know, it's easier to ship them from the States than it is from Canada. It's less expensive. And when they realized there was no black market for French hymnals, they let us go.
Surprise.
Wish there was, though, you know?
Didn't realize that.
That's funny.
In a manner of speaking.
Yeah. Just about a minute left. You both travel globally. How has your time serving with Lutheran Heritage Foundation and traveling so much globally, how has that shaped your perspective on how God's word works by being able to see his word at work in so many cultures, so many places? How has it shaped your perspective on how God's word is at work?
Well, it's something that sometimes we cannot plan, you know, to meet with people in the languages, culture that we did not know about, like what Dr. Heise said. And so for me too, there's so many dialect in the north of Thailand that we have not even mentioned or known about. And it's really great also that they are not Lutheran, you know, and yet they want our books because they don't have anything like we do.
I feel like I have a front row seat, and the Holy Spirit has allowed me to be able to see what he is doing throughout the world, and being able to see that and recognize, you know, going back to the LWML and folks, you know, from the pews, you know, just the average parishioner who wants to give something, whether it's, you know, the widow's mite or maybe an estate, you know, all of this is contributing to the fact that I see these folks coming to faith, and I see the excitement, I see the joy, and that thrills me beyond measure.
The Reverend Dr. Matthew Heise, Executive Director for Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
And the Reverend Dr. Ted Notalong, Asia Director for Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You can learn more at lhfmissions.org. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.